I'm going to read three verses this evening. Matthew 5. The Bible said in Matthew 5, verse number 1, if you're there, say amen tonight. And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain. And when He was set, His disciples came unto Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You may be seated tonight. I'd like to... The Lord brought something to the disciples' attention that I'd like to focus on maybe the next few Sunday nights that we are together on what we know as the Beatitudes. Here is the first sermon that the Lord addressed to His disciples. The Bible said that He opened His mouth. I'm glad I've got a God that's very much alive and can talk tonight. He talks to us by the Scriptures. And so the Bible said that He taught them. I think we need balance of preaching and teaching. And here, Jesus brought out this first topic, and He could have addressed anything that He chose. But isn't this amazing? In Christ's first sermon, He chose to say, Blessed are the poor in spirit. Have you ever thought much about this beatitude? As I'd studied this week, one of the authors said that this is the blueprints for happiness. The Beatitudes, listen to me, and I'll be brief tonight. The Beatitudes are simply the attitudes that ought to be. The Beatitudes are the attitudes that ought to be. Now the word blessed, if you write in your Bible, underline this, it simply has a much deeper meaning than happiness, because we all know this. Happiness comes from happenings. We can feel good and everything be going our way and we seem to be happy-go-lucky and we can get a phone call or something disrupts our agenda and our happiness turns to gloom. So the Lord's not teaching about that of happiness that we know about tonight. But what He is teaching is this. The word blessed implies a heavenly affection, a deep inward abiding joy. Can I say that so you get it tonight? The word blessed implies heavenly affection, a deep inward abiding joy. You know, one of the first times that a light came on to me of blessed, I was in a funeral of a preacher friend and his wife, and they had just lost a child. And I'll never forget, Brother Mike, they had that little coffin up on the communion table. And during that church service, I experienced the word blessed through somebody else, through a sermon that this family taught to me, and I seen how that they both stood to their feet, raised their hands toward heaven, and began to cry and weep. They had an inward joy. They didn't have happiness like me and you know about, but they had an inward, deep-seated joy that only the Spirit of God can put in you and I. This world knows nothing about what Jesus was teaching about tonight. And I ask you, do you have that planted inward joy that Jesus is teaching about? Now notice this. This inward abiding joy, it's much like the depths of the ocean, where the surface is so changeful. Sometimes it's calm and waveless. And at other times, it's tossed about by the winds and the waves. But far deep below that ocean surface, there's a continual, consistent, changeless rest peace and silence. That's what Jesus is wanting that's down in our soul tonight. For He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. The Beatitudes reveal that the criteria that Jesus gives for happiness is not the same as the world's standards. For you and I know as the world promotes their worldliness, they seem to have an ever-passing happiness, but we know that's only temporal. If you see people that seem like they're in the limelight and they've made the big time, they're the most miserable people in the world. But tonight, I want to notice three things about this text that Jesus said about verse number 3. First of all, I want you to notice there is a discovery of this verse. Look what He says. He said, blessed are those that have a deep inward peace are the poor in spirit. First of all, let's look at what poor in spirit does not mean. Now, first of all, it does not mean that you're blessed because you're spiritually weak. This world, or this would glorify a lack of spiritual growth in those who were backslidden and living a lifestyle of sin, would show a spiritual weakness and deadness is not a blessing, but it would be a burden. So Jesus is not talking about to be spiritually weak. Secondly, Jesus is not talking about being poor. You can be poor and still wicked as the devil. Amen. Poverty is never a good thing. Jesus would never have called a blessed state where people lived in slums and not have enough to eat. Poverty is not a guarantee of spiritual conduct. Poor in spirit is not poverty of the purse, but it is of the heart. A discovery, what it is not, but secondly, what it is. Now, notice if you would with me in Psalms 34 and verse number 6, of Psalms 34 and 6. Notice here the psalmist David says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. Now, this poor man cried and the Lord heard. I want to tell you, the Lord still hears the cry of His children tonight. Now, the person who is poor in spirit, first of all, realizes their own helplessness without the Lord and puts their whole trust in God. You know why a lot of people never get saved? They don't realize their helplessness. As the sister sung tonight, we can't work our way into heaven. We can't be good enough to get into heaven. We're saved by the grace of God tonight. And so there is a discovery. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him. The person who's poor in spirit realizes their own helplessness. Number two, the person who is poor in spirit is the person who realizes that temporal things mean nothing and that God means everything. Now listen, the person who's poor in spirit is the person who realizes that temporal things mean nothing. They're just passing. All of this is going to burn up one day. And only what we're sending on to glory land will be there waiting on us. I remember, and I've said it here several times, but I feel compelled to read it tonight. One of the greatest phrases I've ever heard of a man that died and went to heaven. He'd been there a few weeks or so, and a man said, I've noticed you've been here a while. I want to ask you, have you learned anything since you've been in heaven? He said, oh, I sure have. I've learned three main things. He said, what have you learned since you've been here? And I wrote this down in my Bible. I love it. He said, I tell you what I learned. What I spent, I lost. What I saved, I left. But what I gave, I have. And can I tell you tonight, the person who's poor in spirit is the person that realizes that temporal things mean nothing. Now, it is a blessing to have things. We enjoy things in life. There's not anything wrong with us having ambitions and goals. There's nothing wrong with us wanting to do the best for our families and our church as we can. But we must realize these temporal things will soon pass away. And therefore, don't set your affection on things below, but set them above. Now look what one of the greatest preachers behind Christ said in Philippians 3 and verse number 8. Philippians 3 and verse number 8. Talking about the person who's poor in spirit is one that realizes temporal things mean nothing. Paul is writing, and he says in Philippians 3 and verse number 8, he said, "Yeah, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Paul said everything in this world is nothing compared to Christ. You may not have a lot here, but let me tell you something. If your name is there, you've got everything tonight. So there's a discovery what it is. The poor man cried. It's a person who's poor in spirit, realizes their own helplessness. It's a person that realizes temporal things mean nothing. Then thirdly, the person who's poor in spirit is a person who knows their self. It means accepting ourself and being ourself for the glory of God. It means knowing our strength and our weaknesses, our desires and our ambitions, our abilities and our limitations. It's accepting ourselves. It does not mean that you go through life pretending to be something that we are not. Being ourself involves yielding to the Spirit of God and permitting Him to fulfill God's will for our life. In ourselves, we are bankrupt, but in the Lord, we are rich. When you're poor in spirit, you'll also accept others because you accept yourself. When you're poor in spirit, you accept your circumstances. Look in Philippians 4 and verse number 11. Have you ever wondered why you were in the situation that you were in at times? Paul said something in Philippians 4 and 11, talking about being poor in the Spirit. We accept our circumstances and realize there's a God in control. For he says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned, took him a while, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth ongoing process me." Now, the poor in spirit has the right attitude toward things. Toward fame and toward the will of God. When you live to promote yourself, you're bound to become a slave to people. You're never free to be yourself if you live a life to promote yourself. You must always get something from others to inflate your ego or advertise your importance. Humility means that you look to God for everything. You need everything from God. It sets you free from the praise of people, the quest for prestige from circumstances and things. If you need nothing but God, no one can be a threat to you. You're free. There's poverty and riches and poverty. You know, everybody appreciates a pat on the back and says, "Good job." Why, I would be a moron to tell you tonight that I don't appreciate people saying, "Brother Ken, that's good preaching." There's a few people come to me this morning and I said, Brother Ken, I appreciate what you preached this morning. That goes a long way, but listen to me. We cannot live for that. When somebody's not patting you on the back, you still got to realize you're doing it for God. Paul said, be instant in season and out of season. And I can tell you something. If you've got a man of God, he's going to preach some things you won't like sometimes. But he didn't write the Bible. He just reads out of the Bible. So we must all agree with this. We all need to be encouraged and like to be encouraged. But I want to say this tonight. When we're serving God and realize He's our everything, we don't have to have it from other people. If we're just pleasing Him. You know, I was preaching last week. Just preached 3 nights. Came home and I was thinking. When I was up preaching, it seems like nobody's saying amen. You see nothing happening. And I said in my heart, Brother Jerry, I said, but God, inside me, this is what I said while I was preaching. Any of y'all ever have a comment when you're saying something, you're thinking? And I said, Lord, but I'm pillar my head tonight, no, I minded you. And that's all that matters. When you're singing, sing for the Lord. When you're playing, play for the Lord. When you're teaching, teach for the Lord. When you come to church, go to church for you and the Lord. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You see, there's a discovery. Number two, there is a deep dependency. And this is where a lot of people miss it, in my opinion. Notice the publican. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Not only a discovery, but let's look at this dependency. Look in Luke 18, 13 tonight. Luke 18 and 13. Look at this great dependency. We depend upon Christ. In Luke 18 and 13. We know this about the publican's prayer. Matter of fact, in verse number 9, he spake this parable unto certain look which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up in the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are. You know your prayer's wrong when you headed that direction. Because let me tell you, it's in all of us tonight. It better dawn on you, it's in you. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes to all that I possess. Boy, he is crowing on a fence high, wasn't he? And the publican standing afar off will not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. He smote it for his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. There's a deep dependency. Not only the publican, but notice the Phoenician woman. Matthew 15, 21. Watch your Bible tonight. Matthew 15, 21. Talking about a deep dependency. We've got to have Him, folks. There's no good in us without Him. No telling where we all would be tonight. You say, Brother Ken, how come I need to come to church and stay under Bible preaching? Because it's in you to do wrong. That's why me and you need the Word of God preached in our life. Matthew 15, 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed to the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, look what Jesus says, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. She was a Gentile like me and you. Jesus came to the Jews, but the Jews rejected him. And I sure am glad that he turned to the Gentiles. She knew that. She knew she was an outcast. She said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. You know what she said? Lord, if you just let a crumb fall, I don't even deserve it, but dear God, if you just let a piece fall down where I'm at. Jesus answered, said unto her, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You see, there is a description. There is a dependence. But lastly tonight, there's a declaration. Jesus said, being poor in spirit brings future rewards in heaven and wonderful blessings in this old present world. You know what poor in spirit means that I'm trying to tell you tonight? Lord, I can't go to heaven without you. Lord, I can't live this Christian life without you, and I don't deserve nothing, and everything you give me is a great benefit and a bonus. I ought to be in hell tonight. But oh God, I lift my heart to you. There's a great dependency upon you. Who am I that a king would leave his throne and die on an old rugged cross? Shed his blood for me. Who am I but a beggar? Who am I but a poor boy that's been made a rich man by the sweet grace of God? Blessed. An inward peace within that this world cannot get from us. Blessed. Are the poor in spirit. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. I appreciate the Spirit of God. Appreciate the Word of God. May we always remember this Sermon on the Mount, this great beatitude. It really means an attitude that we ought to have. Every time we come in the doors of this church, we ought to raise our little Baptist hands up and say, thank you. Thank you for how good that you've been to me. And I praise you and I bless you. Appreciate you being here.